absolutely hate it when I catch myself judging someone because of their looks, their way of speaking, or their approach. It happened this week, probably more than once, but once that I really noticed. I was listening to the radio, and I heard someone describing something, and I thought, I really like what they're saying, and then the thought came, but I wish they didn't have that accent because I think it would be better received. And I hate it when I do that. Judging someone for just being who they are. But we human beings are judgmental by nature. Partly it's a survival skill. We judge others in order to determine who the enemy is that we need to be aware of. And there are people, abusive, violent, and deceptive people, that we should be very wary of. But this judgment thing has got out of hand. And Jesus knew that when he told people, "Do not judge so that you are not judged." Jesus modeled a spiritual practice of accepting people, accepting each person in front of him for who they were, welcoming them, seeing beyond outer appearances, seeing beyond the stereotypes, rejecting societal norms, and connecting compassionately and unconditionally with the person who is right there. In today's reading from the book of Acts, Peter is challenged to drop his judgments, even the judgments made on the basis of the Jewish law code by which he had lived his whole life. As he's waiting for lunch at a house that he's staying at in Joppa, he has this vision. In the vision, he sees a sheet being lowered, containing all the animals that the Jewish people were forbidden to eat, animals that were not considered kosher. So that would include pigs and vultures, reptiles, lobsters, rabbits, and more. He hears a voice saying, "Peter, come and eat." Peter is horrified. He's grown up knowing that one should never eat these things. And in fact, I think he probably felt nauseous at the thought of eating these things. So he thinks it's a test. "No," he says, "I won't eat anything that's profane or unclean." But it isn't a test. God is challenging him to see and experience something new. The voice speaks again. "What God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has accepted, you must not reject." This was repeated 3 times, just so Peter would get it. And then just at that moment, Peter is aroused from the vision because 3 visitors have arrived with an invitation for him to go to the home of a Gentile. That is, someone who is not Jewish. Cornelius, an Italian, Roman centurion, has sent for Peter. He had been told that Peter could help him understand more about Scripture, more about the Jewish faith that inspired him and that he tried so hard to follow even though he wasn't Jewish. And if you remember at this time, followers of Jesus were considered to be part of the Jewish faith, not something outside of it. So Peter's invited to come. Now, prior to the vision, Peter would have refused the invitation, since he would have judged a Gentile and their home to be profane and unacceptable, something that would defile him. But the vision had challenged him to see things differently, and off he went. It is something that Jesus would have done. Jesus was always being criticized for eating with sinners and Gentiles. As soon as word got out that Peter was with a Gentile, then he too was criticized and questioned. "What were you thinking, Peter? Do you realize that you have just defiled yourself by spending time with this Italian centurion? And by the way, he's the enemy. What about our standards and norms, Peter?" But this was exactly the point of Peter's vision. The societal standards, norms, and customs were not meant to get in the way of the Spirit of God. Cornelius, the Italian centurion, wanted to know about God, and that's all that mattered. It is one of the biggest challenges to us in the Christian faith. Do not judge others. We see it lived out as the early church develops. The Apostle Paul soon declares, "Now there is no Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, for we are all one in Christ." Yet, as I discover weekly, if not daily, it is a difficult spiritual practice. I am constantly catching myself making judgments about others based on what is familiar and comfortable to me, based on what I've been taught in a predominantly white, privileged society. It is so easy to jump to conclusions without even realizing what I've done. You know those dumb Ukrainian jokes that some of you may have heard through the years? They used to be all the rage. Well, they were based on the assumption made decades ago when Ukrainians first migrated to Canada. Many who came from the Ukraine couldn't read because they were peasant farmers. And those who could read knew the Cyrillic alphabet, not the Latin alphabet. And so they were considered to be stupid and uneducated. And the dumb Ukrainian joke started and lasted for decades. I remember in the 60s, 70s, hearing them all the time. Now, there are people in this congregation with Ukrainian background, right, Marlene, Gail? right here, okay. It's a few of us. And I think you might be judging us as capable and educated people. But that's not how Ukrainians were seen at first. It is so easy to judge someone who looks, acts, speaks, or dresses differently than us as lesser and unacceptable. It is so much more comfortable to stay within, well, our comfort zone. But the gospel of Jesus demands, as Peter learned, that we stretch beyond our comfort zone, check our judgments when they happen, and welcome everyone as they are, compassionately and unconditionally, whether they are children or teen, gay or lesbian, transgender or queer, immigrant or indigenous. We've learned so many judgments about many of these groups. As followers of Jesus, we are asked to challenge our judgments and our assumptions. Dr. Gordon Neufeld, with whom David and I have been studying developmental psychology and attachment paradigm, says the greatest gift we can offer to another human being are these two invitations, and they're in the meditation part of your bulletin. The first is that I unconditionally invite you to exist in my presence. The second is I invite you to be your own person in my presence. I invite you to exist in my presence. I invite you to be your own person in my presence. Those are the invitations that Jesus lived. Those are the invitations that Peter learned through his vision. Those are the invitations that the early church realized it must live in order to be true to following the way of Jesus. They are invitations that each of us would love to receive from another person. Doesn't it feel amazing when we realize that someone welcomes us to exist in their presence, being ourselves, and not having to edit or adapt ourselves to fit their image of who we should be? It is one of the most wondrous feelings of all, to be invited to be ourselves, to be loved for who we really are, with all the faults and foibles and whatever else is part of us. These are the invitations we should be giving to our children, no matter their age. These are the invitations that a couple should offer to each other, that friends offer to each other. It is the invitation that we are asked to live as followers of Jesus, as people who choose to be Christian. It's not always comfortable to unconditionally invite someone to exist in our presence and to be their true selves. We might find that judgmental voice popping up in our head saying, well, if they would just speak differently or dress differently or walk differently or be more like what I remember growing up, then they would fit in and I could welcome them. I know that voice too well, and I hate it when it comes. But it comes, and I have to challenge it. I hope you're reading along in the book of Acts on this journey that we're having through the whole book. If you haven't started, it's not too late. If you are, you'll have noticed a comment in chapter 11, verse 26. It says, "It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians." Christians began as a nickname. It means little Christs. At this point, about the year 44, some 10 years after Jesus' death, this name was used not to indicate a separate faith, but a path within Judaism. Christians, little Christs. That is what we choose to be, little Christs. And with that comes a challenge to the natural judgments we tend to make as human beings. We are to welcome the person in front of us unconditionally, not caring about their clothing, their gender identity or sexual orientation, their age or stage or way of acting. We are to see the Spirit of God in that person just as they are. But here's the thing. When we see others without judgment, can we also see ourselves without judgment? Can we understand that God offers to each of us this same welcome and non-judgmental invitation to be our own person in God's presence? Do not judge. That was the spiritual practice that Jesus taught his disciples. And alongside that wisdom, he also offered this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So, we're little Christs. And we Christians seek to do the same as Jesus, to love others and love ourselves.